Jeremiah chapter 25. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year the word of the Lord hath come unto me. So what we're saying here, this is the 23rd year of his ministry. He ministers over 40 years, so it's more than halfway. What has he got so far to show for his ministry? Nothing. Threats. We'll see some death threats, new death, fresh death threats tonight. He hasn't been in prison. He hasn't been thrown down a well at this point. But how many converts, how many people have listened to him? How many people have got on board? Zero. I mean, as far as we know. Now, but he's faithful. Now, this is kind of important. This is a big point right here, right at the beginning. I've been sharing with this person for 2 weeks now, and I ain't saved yet. Man, oh, just frost my, you know what I mean? We talk with somebody for 10 minutes. We don't lead them in prayer, and we throw up our arms in disgust. Oh, can't believe this. The man's 23 years. And he's still faithful. I think that's important. You know, it's only required of stewards that they be found faithful. He's faithful. Results, God's. It's hard to keep that in perspective in my own life. Results, God's. Just keep doing. It's the 23rd year the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. It's 23 years, no fruit. But the Lord hath sent unto you all the servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to turn. They said, inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, every one from his evil way. They who? Well, the prophets that God has sent early, you see. Turn ye, and they all have the same message. Repent. Turn ye again. Repent. In a word, repent. One famous Christian leader said, God hasn't sent me to preach about sin. I solemnly assure you, if that's the truth, then God hasn't sent you. That's a no-brainer. Not trying to judge another man's work or anything else, but if you're a man of God, or a woman of God, repent is, that's so key, that's so vital to everything we say. Oh, you mean you've got it down perfectly all the time? So I come here and I'm preach, I teach. You just keep on keeping on. You guys are awesome. You're doing a great job all the time. And the world never defeats us, and we never, you know, and so just go from excellence. Whose prophecy, whose ministry is that? Because it's, you know, God's calling me to repent personally and to call others to repent. This is the message of all the prophets. There's nothing new here. Turn ye again now, everyone, from his evil way, from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given you and to your fathers forever and ever. And by the way, would they have? Yeah. The reason they were displaced, all the times that they were, both the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, and finally the diaspora after 70 AD, is because of unfaithfulness. I mean, that's the whole thing. Does God judge sin? We'll see tonight that he does. And I shudder to think what's going to happen to America if this is true, and we know that it is true. I'm sorry, it's not a comfortable message, but I'll show you why it's not. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them. Provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Isn't that a weird phrase? Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. He certainly is. He's serving me to judge my nation. And judgment always starts at the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about. So it's going to happen in Jerusalem and all the other nations, and we'll get a list of them even in this chapter. And will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolations. Moreover, in addition to all that, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. Sound of the millstones, business as usual. Light of the candle, it's going to be perpetual darkness. No mirth, no weddings, no fun, no celebrations. It's going to be just bad. It's going to be a bad day for many days. Going to a wedding here, well, officiating wedding in a couple weeks. Very excited about it. I love weddings. When I was a kid, I despised them. I thought they were the stupidest. Then I got old and sentimental. I always cry at weddings. Really? I'm just old softy. I love them. You know, festive celebration of, look forward to them. No more weddings, God's saying. This is the judgment. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years and shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished. And then I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. Does he? Oh, yes. Cyrus comes in. We read about that before. We'll look at it again. Look. Something just happened here. Does anyone realize what we just covered? It's different now. That's the first time he said 70 years. I've been telling you right along. I mean, because I read the book. But this is the first time he mentions captivities for 70 years. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's reading the book of Jeremiah. And here in one other place in Jeremiah, he realizes the captivity is only 70 years and they're coming to an end of it. How old's Daniel at this time? If it's coming to an end of the 70 years, well, he's at least 70 if he was carried into captivity as a baby, right? Well, ostensibly, he was a teenager, so, you know, he's in his mid-80s, close to 90 years old, maybe. Maybe even older than that, who knows? But this is the first place in the book of Jeremiah that God says 70 years. Remember, you haven't kept the land, you haven't done the Shemitah year, the seventh year, you haven't let the land go fallow. For 490 years, you haven't done that. Basically, you owe me 70, God says. And that's the reason for 70 years of captivity, not 68, not 74, 70. That's how much you owe me, God says. You should have read the fine print in the contract. You're going to do it my way or you're going to do it my way? God is a sovereign, and he'll give you free will, and he'll let you go your own way for a season before he snaps you right to the front. I know this from my life reads like me and God, we've been behind the woodshed several times. Always for my betterment, but never for my enjoyment. And it's hardly a mistake I haven't made. And he just, you didn't get the memo, Adam. Let me explain this to you a little bit more clearly. And out we go again, and round we go. You know, I'm getting like to the age where I'm just like, what, Lord? Oh, yep, yes, sir, right away, sir. No doubt, yes, sir. You know, and just, it just works out so much better. Here he says, you know, 70 years because you were disobedient. And the case that he's building against him all the way through here, And some more tonight, but he's been saying right along, you're worshiping other gods, your children are being offered to false gods, you're committing adultery, idolatry, and you know, no, you're taking advantage of widows and orphans and the stranger among you. If you were to write all these things down as we cover them, it would be quite a list by now. We're only halfway through the book. And I will bring upon the land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. It's not just Jerusalem, it's many other nations. He says it in these verses, and he's going to list them out. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, and I'm in verse 15, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. This is the same cup. You can study this all through Scripture. This is the cup where Jesus says, Father, I don't want it. You got a plan B? Now's the time to reveal it. But your will be done in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the same cup that God's going to pour out in the book of the Revelation on the nations. It's the same. It's the wine, the wrath of the fury of God Almighty. Think about that. You know, I think we have some. You know, we talk about grace a lot around here. I like to be, you know, consider the grace guy. I don't know if I do you a favor that way all the time. You know, if I tell you about the God of grace, because here it is, like I say, if I were to go around the room, what's God to you? You say, well, he's my Father. It's a good answer, right? And the next question, what, isn't he your Savior? Well, yeah, of course he's my Savior. Is he your Creator? Well, yeah, of course he's my Creator. Is he your King? Yeah, he's my King. Is he your Lord? Yeah, he's my Lord. Is he my Judge? Oh, yeah, and a righteous judge at that. So the answer, like, God is my Creator, or God is my Lord, or God is my... Those are good, right answers. I wouldn't criticize, but they're incomplete answers. And I think sometimes we have that narrow beam focus about, like, God's, like, you know, the God of grace, the God of love, sloppy agape. He just slathers grace. And really, he's kind of this benevolent, grampy, I just love you guys so much. I don't care if you sin. You know, come on up to heaven. We'll figure it all out later on after that. And I don't think that's a good, balanced, yes, he's the God of grace. Yes, he's the God of mercy. Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. But the ones you're doing, don't think they won't come back and bite you. Jesus paid the penalty for them. But that doesn't mean like, okay, I say this all the time, right? Just make it adultery because I want to make it a bad sin in your thinking, in everyone's thinking. I don't want to make it like, oh, that's nothing. Don't worry about that. So I commit adultery. Has Jesus died for that sin? Yes. Am I going to hell because I commit adultery? No, I think Jesus died. I think he paid the penalty for that sin. That's it. I get off scot-free. Yay! I get a free get-out-of-jail card, and everything's good. And everything's not good. Does my wife leave me? I guarantee you, yes! Because there's no way I can reestablish trust at this point. I'm the guy who says, no, that's bad. Don't do that. Adultery, stop. It'll kill your marriage. Now, how am I going to turn around and explain to my wife why it was okay in my situation? Will my boys ever speak to me again? They're blindly devoted to their mom. They love their dad as long as I don't do anything like beat their mom or cheat on her or holler or make her miserable. They love their dad, but they definitely love their mom. They would never speak to me again. I would lose most of my friends. I'm just telling you. Would I still be able to preach and teach? No. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. Sin has a price tag. Although Jesus died for it, doesn't mean, listen, I knock over a bank, I'm still going to jail. I'm going to tell the judge, Jesus died for my sins. He'll say, oh, that's hallelujah for you. Now go to jail. You see what I'm saying? Sin never furthers our cause. And just because Jesus died, just because the penalty has been paid, doesn't mean there's not a payment to be made with it. A negative impact on your life, and never a positive impact. Never, never, never. Sin never promotes your cause. Never, never gets you going in the direction God wants you to go. Never, ever. Trust me on that. You just have to trust me on that. But if you've done that, you've already seen it in your own life. Let's keep moving. That cup, and I'm going to pour out. I'm going to pour it out on all nations. Because not everyone is under the blood of Jesus Christ either. When you come to a place, you say, Jesus' blood? No thanks. Oh, he died for me? Who cares? Oh, that's a bad decision. That's a horrible place to be. What's the cup of the wrath of God going to look like in your life? I shudder to think, but let's keep moving. I took the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink on whom the Lord hath sent me, to wit, Jerusalem, right? We know that. And the cities of Judah and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation and astonishment and hissing and a curse as it is this day. That it? No, no, no. Oh, no. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people, and all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz. Now, Uz, it's not, you think like, Uz is like, I don't want to say it right, Philistine country, because he's going to mention all the kings. Uz and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, Ashkelon, Azaz, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod. So they're all Philistine cities there. Edom and Moab, present-day Jordan, South Jordan, even going down as far as northern Saudi Arabia, and the children of Ammon, still in Jordan. By the way, the capital of Jordan to this day is Ammon, Jordan. You know what I mean? So if you can remember that, you can remember when you see children of Ammon, you can remember where they're from. All the kings of Tyrus, all the kings of Zidon, the kings of the Isles, which are beyond the sea, Dedan and Tema. Some people think Tema or Teman is Yemen, but Dedan is definitely Arabia, Saudi Arabia, and Buz and all that are in the uttermost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam. Where's Elam? It's later called Persia, but now we call it, you got to know this stuff, Iran. And all the kings of the Medes, who are the Medes? And where are they located? Kurds, northern Iraq. And all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink unto them. The king of Shishak, who is the king of Shishak? It's a code word for the king of Babylon. And as it's presented here, it might be talking about the Antichrist, who's also called the king of Babylon in several places in Scripture. Why do you say that? Because I think this is, goes beyond the judgment that's happening to the judgments that's coming against the whole world at the end of the age. Therefore, because he's talking about pouring out the cup of his wrath. Is that going to happen at this time? Yeah. Is it going to happen again in the book of the Revelation? Oh, yeah. Therefore, thus shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken and spew. I love that. Puke is what he's saying. So you get all drunk and you throw up and then you fall down in it and fall and rise no more. So you're rolling around your own vomit. This is a wonderful word picture here. Because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thy hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. Listen, when God's going to judge you, you're going to get out of it? God's going to judge America for her sins, right? So I don't want to get judged. So I say, okay, honey, let's fly off to some far-off distant land, Ireland. So we get in a plane, right? And all of a sudden, you know, the jets die off and we're going into the sea and that's all. And you don't get away from God, right? So I find a parachute, jump out of the plane. They recover their jets, away they go onto safety, and I'm plummeting to the water with my parachute, which I successfully pull, and then I see, you know, this, I'm right in the middle of the ocean, and the sharks circling underneath me. You don't get away from, because I think a lot of people, and I'm just telling you this outrageous story, why? Because a lot of people think, well, I'm just going to go get a mountain cabin in Wyoming, and I'm going to, or Montana, I'm going to get brown rice and plenty of water, and I'm going to make it through the tribulation without, you know, you're not. When God means to judge you, you're going to get judged. I'm not drinking that cup. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thy hand to drink, thou shalt say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. You think you get, I'm running to Egypt. Well, they're next on the list. They're the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants. Well, I'm going to Moab. You ain't going nowhere. God's got your number. He knows where you live. He knows where you're running. If you're headed to judgment, you're headed to judgment. You ain't going to get away from the judgment of God. I'm saying this to a room full of saved people. I get that. It's going to be on the radio, and some people who aren't saved might hear that and might, you know, come to repentance. You're not going to get away from God. It's a silly idea. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished? Judgment starts at the house of God. It doesn't end there. You shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes, against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise, and this is why I think it may be talking about the tribulation period. Now we're talking about all the inhabitants of the earth. Okay? We went from local judgment to worldwide judgment. That's why I think Shishak in verse 26 may be an allusion to the Antichrist. That's my best guess. You can disagree with me if you want. You might be right as well. You might be right, more righter than me. Verse 31, noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. So much refuse. Howl ye shepherds, leaders is the idea here, and cry and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel, precious vessel is the idea there, and the shepherd shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. Again, you don't run away from God. That's ridiculous. Talk to Jonah about that. He wrote a book about running away from God. Voice of the cry of the shepherds and a howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord hath spoiled their pasture, and the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He hath forsaken his covert, has left his lair. Okay, is the idea. He hath left his lair like the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of their fierce anger. Chapter 25. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house. I love this. Go here, go there. Now, go, okay, I got to do what? Court of the Lord's house. Okay. Off he goes, because Jeremiah is one of the most noble, best guys, best servants of the Lord. I want you to do this. Okay, and off he goes. It's only required stewards that they be found faithful. Read here, obedient. And keep being obedient. Stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. Listen, welcome to my ministry. This is what I want to do more than anything else in the world. I want to speak the entire word of God. Diminish not a word. Now, there's a lot of teachers out there. God didn't send me to talk about sin. You're diminishing a lot of words. Look. I just want to tell you what the book says. And it's not all comfort. It's not all Skittles and root beer. It's not all... it is what it is. The Bible is what God wants you to know. Now, I just tell you about... Listen, I can give you 3 points in a poem. I can itch. I can scratch your itching ears. I can tell you what you want to hear. We can just stay in the Psalms perpetually. And just the good Psalms, the happy Psalms... Not the, you know, the why art thou cast down, O my soul, trust in God. None of that stuff. Just the happy, pleasant psalms. You know, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me fat, dumb, and happy and gives me a new car every year. And we can just, you know, I'll tell you, no, I don't want to do that. That's not a benefit. There's plenty of those guys around, too. I just don't want to ever be one of them. Listen, that's me. Don't you feel the same way? No, not about my ministry, about yours. Don't you feel the same way? You want to say what God wants you to say to who he wants you to say it, when he wants you to say it? Don't you feel the same way? I don't leave anything out. Or they're going to get mad. I guarantee it. They're going to get mad. Listen, if you're doing it right, they're going to get mad. Or saved. John Wesley started a school for preachers, and you know, someone would come to John Wesley and say, I feel God's, you know, called me to preach. He goes, well, preach. So they go out and they'd preach. Or anyone get saved? If they said yeah, he'd say, oh, I guess God has called you into the ministry, and you know, he'd disciple them and stuff like this. And if they said no, the next question, well, then anyone get mad? And if they said no, he'd say, you don't have a calling on your life. True story. He said, I mean, it's supposedly a true story that he said that. Is it a true story? Listen, people get saved or people get mad, generally, one of them. I know there's some people, oh, that was such a blessing, as they go off into wanton, sinful, horrible lifestyle. Yeah, I don't know, but why did I get there? Where am I? Oh, I don't want to diminish a word. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. Remember, the book isn't chronological. There's one point where he says, stop praying, it's too late, judgment. Now here he's talking about preach to them, preach to them. If they repent, I'll repent. If they change their mind, I'll change what I purpose to do to them. Are we in that place as Americans with God? I have no idea. I've been praying. I'm really seeking the Lord on this. I don't know if he'll tell me, but I'm really seeking the Lord. Did we go too far? Is there room for repentance? Is there room for you not to judge America? I mean, I love this country. Listen, I got kids. I got grandkids. The things ahead of this country, I think, are fearful. I don't want them to. So I'm praying for mercy and repentance. Have you seen any signs of it? Because I haven't, even in the churches of Jesus Christ. Never mind nationally. Next month, the Supremes will decide as a nation if we want to just... If Thomas Jefferson, when he was writing the Constitution and the Constitutional Committee there, where they were thinking like, I think it's okay for men to sodomize other men. And this is what the Constitution definitely says. And the Supremes will decide that next month. Say the harsh language. Listen, it's harsh times. This is... 20 years ago, you could never have convinced me. You could not have convinced me that would ever be talking about that. Or I'd be living in a country where that would actually be the law of the land. It's about to go national. And you know what will happen? God will wink at it and say, oh, those cute Americans. They're just so cute. I just love them. I just think they're so wonderful. I don't care about sin. I'm just a benevolent grampy up here. I don't listen to my Bible. I know I invented marriage, but I really have nothing to say about it. You guys do what you want to do. And he just laugh. And nothing bad will happen. Pray, guys, pray. Because I ain't seen anything. At this point, he's calling them to hearken, to repent, and he'll turn. Are we past that point? I don't know that. I mean, who does? I mean, like I say, I've really been praying about that, like, because I want to know, because I'm still praying, Lord, give us repentance. Pour out your spirit. We want to see, like, many come to the Lord in these days. Is it going to be, like, a very, very, very bad time, and then many will come to the Lord? If so be, bring it. If that's God's plan, I'm okay with that. He's saying, not really. Whatever it takes. What? Life isn't all that the be-all and end-all. You only hear a short time. Eternity's long. Think about it. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if you will not hearken to me to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets whom I send unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Somebody who speaks Hebrew said that's Shiloh, whatever. We always say Shiloh, right? A lot of Shilohs in America. Even people are named that. Usually women people. I like it as a name, but it's not a good thing to name a young girl because it's a reproach. It's God's judgment. When, remember that was where the tabernacle was set up, before Jerusalem, before any of this. And they took, they were in war with the Philistines. They took the Ark of the Covenant out to battle and they lost it to the Philistines. And then they never got it back to Shiloh, and Shiloh just fell into disrepair and disuse, and it was never the center for worship again. God judged it because of Hophni and Phinehas, and you remember, and all the bad they were doing. I'm studying that right now in 1 Samuel. It's a sad story. And he says, I'm going to make this house, Jerusalem, the temple, right? It's the temple. It's Solomon's temple. I'm going to make this like Shiloh. Think of what he's saying. Is this blessing them? Not so much. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, and the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Okay, Lord, you sent me to talk to the people. Don't diminish a word, and this is the thanks I get. You're going to die, man. You deserve to be. Hey, I tell you, to be a prophet, you deliver the goods. Sometimes people are going to want to kill you. In America, they have some restraint usually, but if looks could kill, Sunday morning, most Sunday mornings, I'm looking out of in the UK. You smile and you nod and you're into what I'm saying. Sometimes I'm thinking like if looks could kill, I'd be just oh my goodness, I'd be. Not you guys. You're the Wednesday night crowd, right? But I mean, some people they come here and they get invited and stuff like this, and they're not very happy. And then I go out there and bring the message to them at the job site or in my family or something like that. This is what you get. Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. They're gathered together against the prophet of God in the house of God. Imagine such a thing. I know you could never picture this. And I don't mean that facetiously. I mean, not that you're doing it. I'm not saying that. But people do this all the time. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house under the house of the Lord and sat down at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets. Now the priests and the prophets are leading the lynch mob against Jeremiah. But that's how it is. You know, you talk to some atheists, generally they don't even care what you're saying or something. But you talk to a religious person, their head's going to explode when you try and tell them the gospel. And they're the ones who want to, you know, to crucify you, to kill you. Here, then spake the priests and the prophets under the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against the city, as ye have heard with your own ears. Then spake Jeremiah and all the princes and to the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against the city. All the words that ye have heard. I didn't diminish a word. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he has pronounced against you. What's your problem? Listen, you're the one who's standing with the switch in your hand. Switch it on, switch it off. Repent, do the good works, God won't judge. Oh, keep in your filth and your vileness and your wickedness and keep turning from the Lord, it's going to end poorly. What's your problem? You know, I feel Jeremiah saying, I'm just the mail carrier. I'm just delivering the mail. Don't shoot the messenger. But that's never the way it is. That's never the way it is. If you're going to be a faithful minister of Jesus Christ, brace for impact. All they that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Write it down. Sorry. That's the way it is. It's on the menu. Amend your doings. Turn around. Repent. As for me, behold, I'm in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good. Meet unto you. Yeah, whatever. I don't care. If you've got to kill me, go ahead and kill me. Don't threaten me with a good time. You think that's what he's saying? Well, I think, but look at, but he lets him know, verse 15, but know for certain that if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the city, upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. I ain't making this stuff up. God told me to tell you this. Is this an unworthy message? Is this a bad thing that he's saying? You know, later on he's going to be saying, go out to the king of Babylon. Give yourself up. At least you'll live. The price of your life will be Babylonian captivity. Stay in the city, death. And they're saying, you're a wicked, you're an anti, hey listen, when I say the judgment's coming to America, it's not because that's not an act of treason, that's an act of reason, that's an act of, I see the handwriting on the wall. That doesn't mean I hate this country, it means I love this country. And some would accuse me of saying, oh, you know, I mean, think about the message. After September 11th, I say, okay, give up, let's find Obama and Obama. See that? What happened there? Okay, it's one of them. Okay. We'll just find the Taliban. We'll give ourselves up. Yeah, we're sorry. And if that was my message, I would say, treason. This is kind of what Jeremiah is saying here. It's too far gone. God's using Nebuchadnezzar as an instrument of judgment. Give up. It's not a very palatable message. Here he's saying, you're going to be like Shiloh. But here, he's still holding out hope. Then said the princes and all the people under the prophets and the, all the people under the priests and the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Don't kill him. He's all right. He's saying the right thing. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land, spake to the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Morasite, that's Micah, the prophet Micah. You know, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, that Micah there, that's that guy. Micah the Morasite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord? And the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them. Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. So here the people, the elders, and God bless when elders, verse 17, then rose up the certain of the elders. These are elders. When elders eld, when the older among us lead us in the things of the Lord, that's a wonderful blessing. In America, not so much. Young people, old people trying to act young. They're trying to, you know, be with it and stuff like that, and they're supposed to be those who are calling us back to morality. I tell my mom, your generation has failed us. She just kind of looks and winces, and she can't disagree with it because she knows that that's the truth of the matter. I'm not saying, Mom, you stink as a mom. You know, get out of here. And not like that. We went for dinner the other night. We didn't have any really serious conversation, did we? It was kind of pleasant. We went to Anglers because it was Mom. She ordered the haddock because it was Mom. Same old, you know. But we had a good time. But I tell Isaiah, you know, how come the elders aren't leading us? How come they're not calling us? Because they remember what it was like. But they try to, like, be groovy and try to act like kids. And it's ridiculous is what it is. But here they're saying, look, thus might we procure great evil against our souls. Maybe it won't happen if we turn right now. There was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord Uriah, the son of Shemaiah, of Kiriath-Jearim, who prophesied against the city and against its land according to all the words of Jeremiah. When Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men, all the princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. And Jehoiakim, the king, sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him into Jehoiakim, the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. What's the point? Well, this guy here said some of the same things. But when you said, oh, we're going to kill you, he ran off to Egypt. Well, Jeremiah's standing right here. He says, hey, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do. He's saying, Jeremiah's the real deal. This guy here, he's, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough go to Egypt. Hey, I got to get out of here. They're going to kill me. He's not a real prophet. He's the one when you know, the game's on the line. You know, remember the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hireling, no, he ain't laying down. So there's a paycheck involved here. No heroics here. And he's off. This guy's a hireling. He's not the real deal. Not like Jeremiah. That's what this is all about. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah. They should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. Who is Ahiakim? Well, he's the son of Shaphan. Who's Shaphan? Ah, I'm glad you asked. Remember Josiah, the good king? This was his scribe, a man of God. Ahiakim is his son. Godly posterity. Josiah repented and brought reform to the nation. This man was one of the leaders, and he brought his children upright, so much so that this guy recognizes Jeremiah as the real deal. Now, chapter 27, we're going to go through this pretty quick. I know it's a little bit longer, but let me do it. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes and put them upon thy neck. Yoke. It's that piece of wood that goes around the neck of two oxen to keep them walking side by side. It's a symbol of bondage, a yoke. Send them to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of the Ammonites, to the king of Tyrus, to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem under Zedekiah, king of Judah. So they're having this message. Okay, what do we do? You know, Nebuchadnezzar's coming. Hey, send these little gifts. They all show up, you know. You go to the women's conference and stuff, they give you these little gifts. How about a yoke? Bring this yoke back to your king, okay, and a message, all right? And command them to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall you say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son. Only that many, though, three generations. We'll read about that in Daniel when we get there. Until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. So he's going to get his at the end of it all. But until then, you serve him. I've given it into his hand. Why? Because it seemed meet unto me. It seemed just. It seemed like the way I wanted to do it. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and all that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with famine, with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. That was happening in Jerusalem, was happening to all the nations around Jerusalem. King has his cronies, and they all prophesy, oh no, thus saith whoever their god is, you're not going to serve the king, he won't come back here, and you'll be fine, and all this stuff. Why? Because they know what side their bread is buttered on. And if they get the king upset with them, it's, you know, off with his head. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and you should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, here's the promise, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord. And they shall till it and dwell therein. Oh, you're going to pay taxes. You're going to pay tribute to him. You're going to be a vassal kingdom. But you're going to be a kingdom. You're still going to have your own house, your own lands. Oh, it'll be tough. But it ain't going to be tough like death is kind of tough, you know. It's going to go very bad. Do it my way. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, serve him and his people, and live. Why will you die? Thou and thy people by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. Why will you die? It's still the message. Believe in Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior. Why will you die? What's the purpose? What's the sense? I did it my way, all the way to hell. I don't understand. I never understood. Did Zedekiah listen to him? No. Imagine living under the ministry of Jeremiah. No, not listening. Remember, he said, you're gonna die in Babylon. Another one had prophesied, you're not going to see Babylon. He just laughs. You can't even get your story straight. You remember, he's caught. His sons are killed right in front of him, and his eyes are gouged out. Imagine the last thing you ever see is the death of your sons. Then he's taken off to Babylon, where he never sees Babylon, and he ends up dying in Babylon. Both prophecies are true. It's sad. Why will you die? Thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. Come under his yoke, Zedekiah. What's your problem? Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. They're prophesying a lie unto you. How do you trust that? How do you know that? Because today, I hear prophecies, right? And they're saying, okay, this is going to happen in America, this is going to happen in America, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Oh, I had a dream, I had a vision. The angel of the Lord came in and said thus and such and stuff. How do you know that? Because I've Follow with me here for a second. I've had people say, God told me that this and this and this and this were going to happen. One guy tell me that Jesus was going to come back by the end of summer. Now, some of you are thinking, so? What makes you think he's wrong? Because the summer he was talking about was 1985. That's why I think it's wrong, unless my calendar's off a little bit. Some people say God's going to do this, and it never materializes. There is such thing as false prophecy. How do you know? So I'm listening to this, and I'm praying, and Lord, help me to discern. I'm not a discernment guy. I know if somebody says something that's not kosher, it doesn't line up with Scripture, but I can't discern spirits. I really can't. That's not my gift. I told you before, I'm broken on purpose. We need the whole body functioning to function correctly. I'm not the be-all and end-all, the seer, the visionary, the teacher, the preacher. I'm just one guy. This is it. This is a one-trick pony. This is what I do. So I'm praying. Lord, is this true? Are you trying to get a message to me? But, you know, I have an idea. If Zedekiah is, Lord, is this true? Is what Jeremiah is saying true? Is he really on your team? I'm guessing that God's going to be able to tell Zedekiah, by whatever means possible, you got to listen to Jeremiah. He's my guy. He's my prophet of the hour. I think a lot of times we can't see because we won't see. I think a lot of times it's on us. Because I have an idea. If I'm really praying, I really want to know what God's, you know, about this person, what this person's saying. Is that the real deal? Is that true? Is that accurate? You know, is that something we should set our compass by? I think God will let me know one way or the other. I have to believe that. Let's keep moving. Don't listen to those guys. They're lying to you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy to you. Because they're a bunch of lies. And God's not happy with being misrepresented by lies. And I spake to the priests and to all his people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets and prophets that prophesy to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. At this point, the first deportation has happened. Nebuchadnezzar came, he took many of the vessels of the Lord. And so the prophets are saying, oh, they're going to bring them back. And Jeremiah is like, not so much. Hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon, live. Wherefore should the city be laid waste? Will it be? Oh, yeah. Will there be dead bodies in the streets, even little children? Yeah. Thanks, Zedekiah. Man, you should listen to Jeremiah. But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts at the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah at Jerusalem, go not to Babylon. That's what they should be doing if they're the real deal. For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, that's that big brass sea, right? And by the way, the pillars, do you remember the names of them? You should, because we have a sign over the door and over the other building. We have the same names, remember? Boaz and Jachin. Jachin is how you would say it. Boaz means what? To strengthen, and Jachin means to establish. And that's our ministry, to establish and to strengthen. The two pillars. That's what we do. That's why we're a church. That's how we function. We want to establish people in righteousness, i.e. get them saved, and then we want to strengthen them. We want to teach them the word of God, to firm up their lives, to firm up their marriages, to firm up their relationships and all their life. That's how you know if you're doing it right. That's those two things are supposed to be happening. I mean, ostensibly. No, they're going to carry the pillars, the sea, and concerning the bases, and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem, who went? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is Ezekiel in Babylon at this time? Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is the first deportation. It's already happened. He says, them prophets are real prophets. They ought to be praying that the rest of the vessels won't go. Is he talking about just the vessels of the Lord? Is he talking about vessels like how, you know, God calls us vessels? I think both, but specifically the vessels that are in the temple. Is this the end of the judgment? Oh, no. No, it's going to go bad still. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and the house of the king of Judah in Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon. Vessels, people, or just vessels, vessels? Both. Both. They shall be carried to Babylon. And there shall they be until the day that I visit them. When's that? Well, this guy has a big party, right? And he gets all drunk, and he's been like, you know, he's smoothing on the ladies, and he's all, you know, drunk. And he gets these vessels, these same vessels, right, and fills them up with wine and alcohol. And he's praising the God of gold and silver, and he's mocking the God of Jerusalem. And the God of Jerusalem shows up, and he starts writing on the wall. And by the way, if you're having a party, and there's this disembodied hand starts writing on the wall, that will mess up your party every time. Boy, it messed up his. Remember, many, many, Tekel, Upharsin, you've been weighed, you've been found wanting, and it's all over. Your kingdom's going to be divided. He died that night. They're going to be carried to Babylon until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord, and then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. Oh, they're coming back after 70 years, after a lot of misadventure, after a lot of bad stuff's going to happen. Okay, that's a study for the night. Now, we can end there, but Matt, you can come and... But I just want to say one thing about our study in Jeremiah. I'm going to suspend it for a little while because... Sunday nights, you know, we don't have study nights, summer study. And I'm taking our study of the Psalms, and I'm going to move it to Wednesday night. And I hope that doesn't inconvenience you tremendously. The reason is I don't want to wait another 3 months. I mean, we've been in the Psalms a long, long time. If I finish when I think we're going to finish, we may finish this year. It's about 50-50 in the Psalms right now. So I'd like to finish it in December of this year, if at all possible. But if I just don't have the summer off, it's going to be like 2016, March or April before we finally finish. No, I just want to do the Psalms. We got to stop one of our studies, either Psalms or Proverbs. I mean, Jeremiah, and I just... Last year, we suspended our study of Psalms. I just think we just want to do Psalms. And besides, we need a let up. This is tough stuff. It's really tough sledding. For me, isn't it for you? Judgment's coming. Happy news? Well, let's pray. Let's stand. Let's pray. It's not happy news, Father. Think about this thing. And I kind of run through the scenarios in my mind about what that looked like when, you know, famine came to the, and children were crying for food, and there was disease and pestilence and death and just general mayhem because people weren't faithful to you at all, and people disobeyed you and just wouldn't follow what you said. And many young children were affected, and innocent people are always affected by our sin, by our depravity, by our wickedness. Well, I pray you turn this country around. I pray you would in the worst way. I so long for us to be a nation where righteousness reigns. And Father, I pray your mercy. I pray that you'd give wisdom to our leaders. I pray that much repentance would happen in a very short amount of time. And Lord, for the Supreme Court making this decision on gay marriage, I just pray that righteousness will reign. And I'm just praying against this, Lord. I'm hoping that you'll speak to the hearts of these men and women and tell them what they need to know about don't mock what you've invented. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.